me tell you about my wife, Cheryl. When she was a little girl, she was born in 1959. That makes her 64 years old. Back in the Ozarks of Missouri, she grew up in the hick town of Mansfield, Missouri. Nobody in her family had ever gone to college. In fact, in her little town, hardly anybody had graduated from college. She went to a little high school that had 30 people in her graduating class. Anybody been to a high school like that? She was a valedictorian. Not hard to be a valedictorian when there's only 30 people. In fact, she was a runner back then, and she did hurdles, and she still has the record for the Mansfield 110 women's hurdles. Wow. In fact, when we were dating, John, I had to chase her, and it was hard. She was fast. I had to chase her all over town, all over Kansas City. But when she was growing up in that little town where everybody expects a girl to be, you know, at home and raise kids and stuff, she goes, no, I want to be a doctor. And they say, oh, no, you don't mean a doctor. Girls don't grow up to be doctors. You mean you want to be a nurse? She goes, no, I want to be a doctor. Okay, ladies over here, how many of you want to be a doctor? Okay, well, maybe later. But my wife said, no, I want to be a doctor. And she was discouraged to be a doctor, but she had that vision, she had that dream. And I can't tell you the whole story, but sure enough, she got the last appointment to University of Kansas City Medical School in Kansas City, Missouri. And it was a six-year program, and she got there, and she was so excited, she put herself into it, and she just kept going. And that's when I met her. And then God, put us together, and we were next-door neighbors. And Bill, you know what it's like being a theology major. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And she was my neighbor, John, as you know, and right next to the seminary. So I fell in love with her, and we got married. Well, now Frida. Frida also grew up in a rural area of Kenya, just like my wife in the hills of Missouri. And Frida grew up as an orphan. Her dad passed away, and her mom could barely keep things going with four children to feed, and she was always struggling. And so finally they found a children's home. In Africa, like in Mexico, a lot of families, they send their children to an orphanage, even if the mom is still alive, but she can't take care of them all. We understand that. And so she sent her little girl Frida to hopefully that this little mission orphanage would take care of her. And sure enough, she did well. She worked hard. And she said, I want to be a doctor. Oh no, little girls from Africa don't become doctors. You can become, you know, a housemaid. You can, you know, cook or wash laundry. But you would never become a doctor. They discouraged her. She's a little orphan girl. But she said, no, I want to be a doctor, just like my wife. Well, sure enough, she did well in school, and a church in North Carolina found out about her, and they said, we're going to sponsor you in high school. Because in Kenya, there's no free education for high school. You have to be sponsored. And so they paid the fee, and she did really well. And then she went to medical school. She did great. And then she came to Tenwick as an intern. And my wife met Frida and knew, just like she knew about Elijah Terrier, this woman has something special in her. She has a heart for women. She has a heart for children. So I trained her and kept training her. And after that year of internship, my wife said, Frida, would you please join our OBGYN program? And now she is. She's an OBGYN. Amen? Can you give the Lord a hand? So here we have two midwives. My wife, Cheryl, and Kenyan Frida, and they're working together every day, and she comes to our home all the time, and she's delightful, and she's amazing, and she's going to be just this amazing woman. So that's what God's dream was for us, to start a residency program. When we got there in 2015, there was no Kenyan OBGYNs, there was very few Kenyan doctors, but now God has raised up more and more Kenyan doctors, and now 75% of our staff are Kenyans, not missionaries, and that's our goal, praise the Lord. And so our goal is called 40 by 40. In fact, your sheet, if you just take a second, let me show you that. This is called 40 by 40 vision. We won't read the whole thing, but you see at the top, we are going to train 40 African OBGYNs by the year 2040. And we're already starting that. Amen. So we started in 2020, and we've trained two per year. And so Frida is one of those. And then just last week, we selected two more women to be Jackie and Charity, and they're going to join our program. So now we have six OBGYNs. I don't know if you caught what I said earlier, but every OBGYN doctor that we train is saving, on average, every day, two people. Two people. Now, if you do the math, you don't have time, but I've done it for you. When you train 40 OBGYNs in Africa, and over the 40 years of their career, two lives saved per day, do you want to know how many lives that is? Anybody want to guess? Go ahead, just take a guess. How many is that?
5,000.
5,000. No. Higher. Keep going. 1.1 million. Good guess. Are you a mathematician?
No.
You got that really fast. 1,168,000 lives. Did you lower the hand? Did you lower the hand? Hallelujah. So we're excited about that vision, and it's happening. And so we are now selecting number 5 and 6 out of 40. We still have a long way to go. Cheryl and I may not be there in the year 2040. I hope we can come back. We'll be in a wheelchair, John, but you know, I may borrow this one here. I don't know. We hope to go back to Africa in the year 2040 to see those 40 obstetricians delivering lives. That's what we're there to do, to save lives. Amen. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what it's like for my wife. And do you have that video clued up? If you have that video, there's a 3-minute video. I want to show you the day of a typical obstetrician in Kenya. And if you don't mind, I may narrate. It's just music in the background. This is my beautiful wife, Cheryl. We call her the most beautiful doctor in the hospital. Is that fair? Amen. And this is our staff. This is our residents. We have devotions every morning.
We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who calls us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence.
Dr. Megan Steen is also one of our OBGYN faculty. And this is Frida. I'm sorry, you can't. Well, that's Frida in that picture. So every morning, we train our residents and our faculty. Frida is this in that in the middle. That's with that like children lab coat. We have a NICU. We have a lot of twins in Kenya. For some reason, our tribe has the highest multiple births of any people group in the world. Wow. Triplets, twins, even quadruplets. So high-risk obstetrics is very needed. Back in the 1950s, when the missionaries first came to Kenya, they believed that a second child, a twin, was a curse. So they would actually kill the second one. These are hospital beds that we need to replace.
Two to three to a bed.
Wow. How many of you women had to share your delivery bed? So if you want to make a contribution, $250 buys a new delivery bed for our women. So what we did early on, when they would try to kill that baby, that second twin, the missionaries would adopt that child, and we would raise them and put them in one of our children's homes. We can stop it there. So I just want to give you a little look at what it's like in the labor and delivery. Now, as I mentioned, my wife and the other OBGYNs, on average, 2 lives were saved every day. And I'll never forget one day my wife was in surgery, and she needed to help this woman that was bleeding profusely. Because what happened was, one of our interns that we trained, my wife trained her, and they only get 3 months of training as an intern. Then they have to go out and do their best. My wife had 4 years of OBGYN intensive training, but we only can give these, except the ones in our program, but the other doctors have to do 3 months and then they go out in the villages. And this one lady, she was trained as well as we could do. She went to a little place called Longisa Community Hospital, and she frantically called my wife on her cell phone at midnight and said, "Dr. Coles, I've got this patient that came in hemorrhaging, and I've already given her 5 units of blood. And her hemoglobin is 3.5. I don't know if you know what that means, but that's almost death. That's very, very severe. And she's hemorrhaging, and my wife said, "Well, clamp off all of the bleeding that you can and send her to our hospital, Tenwick, 40 minutes down the road as fast as you can." So this intern, she did the best she could. She had 12 clamps, all she had in the whole hospital, these 12 clamps. And she, I'm sorry to be kind of graphic here, but she had an open wound with her, where her hysterectomy was supposed to be, and she was clamping off all of the bleeding vessels. But the time was of the essence to get her to the hospital. And so they brought her to the hospital, and they opened up the gauze, and my wife and Frida continued to do surgery, and praise the Lord, saved that lady's life. But without trained OBGYNs, that woman would have died. And over again, that story repeats itself. We're a training hospital, we're a referral hospital, and we see those kinds of cases all the time. Another time, my wife was ready to deliver this woman, and the complications with breech and the umbilical cord around the neck, and she called Frieda immediately, "I need help, quick, come." And Frieda came, and without their intervention, that woman and that baby would have died. Another woman was named Beatrice, and she came to the hospital bleeding. Again, in Kenya, in a government hospital, they just let people linger. They don't know what to do with them. And for 2 weeks, this lady was bleeding, and she was not getting better, and she was getting very, very sick and very ill. Finally, her husband, Timothy, said, "I need to go to Timwick. Timwick's the only hope I have for my wife." And they've been trying to have children for 12 years, and they had never been able to have a child. And now she was fully 9 months pregnant, so he desperately wanted to save his wife and his little baby girl. So they came to Timwick and showed it all she could, but the damage was just too much. And while she was trying to save the mom's life, the baby passed away already before she could save the baby. But she was able to get the hysterectomy done and save the woman's life. But she had to go to the husband, Tim, and he's a Maasai man. And if you know anything about Maasai men, everything in their life is to have children. In fact, they will have two or three wives, as you may know, just so they can have children. And this was his only wife. And my wife knew this was going to be difficult. But she said, "Timothy, I'm really sorry, but your baby has passed away. There was nothing we could do. It was already demised when you came in." He said, "But how is my wife?" And I have to tell you, that's very unusual, because a Maasai man wouldn't care about his wife. He would care about the baby. But he said, "How is my wife?" And she said, "Well, Timothy, I think she's going to make it. I think she's going to make it." And he said, "Well, we will bear..." And he understood what a hysterectomy meant, that they would not have any more chance to have children. But he said this to my wife: "Thank you, Dr. Coles. You did all you could. Asante sana, Dr. Coles. We will bury this little girl as our firstborn and as our lastborn." And then she went to little Beatrice when she woke up from anesthesia and said, "Beatrice, I'm sorry, but we lost the baby. But that means you're not going to have any more children." And Beatrice said this to my wife: "That's okay, Dr. Coles. Asante sana. Thank you very much," she said. "I will love my God with or without a baby." And you have to understand, for a Kenyan woman, that's big, because their whole identity as a woman is to have children. And if they don't have children, they somehow feel cursed. But she said, "I'm going to love God even if I don't have a baby." A few months later, she went home and she got well and she did fine. And she said, "Please, Dr. Coles, bring your husband back to celebration." In Kenya, when you have a near-death experience and you survive, you bring all the family from all the community back for a celebration of life service. And so, "Would you come to my celebration of life? I want to thank God for saving my life." So we were there, and there were 300 people, and it was a big feast. I mean, the Maasai guys brought out all the goats. You know, I told you how they cook goats in Kenya, you know, Yoma Choma, they call it. And they had the calves, and they were eating, and it was a great, great time. And at the end of the ceremony, they said, "Dr. Coles, you saved my life. Would you come up with your husband?" And so we came up there, and it turns out that Beatrice is a seamstress. She makes clothing. And so she presented my wife her dress, and she presented me with my shirt. You like this shirt, didn't you? He said, "I like your shirt. Can I get one of those?" Isn't that sweet? This lady. But now she can't have any more children, obviously. Well, since that day, 4 years ago, they've adopted 12 kids. Isn't that beautiful? And they care for them in their home. Even though they couldn't have their own children, they have 12 orphans that they're taking care of. That's what God can do. God is in it, and God is good. Well, some people ask me, they say, "Well, Dean, your wife saves lives. What do you do, Pastor?" "Oh, John, I don't know. What do I do? I don't know." Well, you know, I pray with people, and I do my best. So I'm the chaplain, and we have an open heart surgery. We do the most open heart surgeries in southern sub-Saharan Africa, below Egypt. And so we had this hospital, and it was gifted by a $30 million gift from Billy Graham's organization. Some of you know Samaritan's Purse. And so we're doing open heart surgeries, and we're doing all these things. And a few months before I met this little girl, I had surgery on my, John can test, do you see this little,
yes.
I call it my divot. Anybody a golfer here? Well, there's a little hole in my head, okay? Now that explains a lot, John. I've lost some of my brains here. But I had surgery on my, and Patricia, one of our Kenyan residents, took it out, and it was cancer. Now I'm cancer-free, thank the Lord. So I'm there, and I've got this scar healing up, and I have my surgical cap on, I have my gowns on, because I'm a chaplain. I'm going in and out of the operating rooms, so I have to be sterile with my gown, and I'm meeting with the patients, and there's a little girl. Her name's Kayla. And I'm praying with her, and as I'm praying with her, and I have an interpreter because I don't know Maasai language, and I'm praying, and he's interpreting for me, and all of a sudden, I hear the Lord saying to me, show her your scar. Now, John, it's kind of hard to pray and talk to God at the same time, you know what I mean? I'm trying to pray. What do you mean, God? Sure, what does that mean? Oh, I figured out what he meant by that. So after we were done praying, I took my cap off because she was really anxious. She'd never been in a hospital in her entire life. And here's these bells and whistles and machines going off and people scrambling around. And she's very, very fearful. And I said, Kayla, you see this scar here? I had surgery in this very operating room that you're going to go into. And I'm okay, see? And her face just lit up. Wow. Oh, the Mzungu, the white man. He survives. I think there's hope for me. And so sure enough, we had the surgery and she came and she did great. Because I need to tell you, in Africa, 34 million children suffer from what we call rheumatic heart disease. I'm not sure if you understand what that means, but when they are little and they have strep throat and it's not treated with antibiotics, which they don't have, there's a bacteria that grows into in the valves of their heart and they die before they're 20 years old. 34 million children have this rheumatic heart disease. And so we're there to do open heart surgery to save these lives. And every day, Agneta and Dr. Ben and Dr. Dendel are saving lives every day, and we're training those open-heart surgery physicians to save these lives. But not all the lives can be saved. We do our best. But one day I got a call at midnight, and Dr. Agneta, one of our open-heart surgeons, called me up because I'm the chaplain for the cardiovascular team. He said, Pastor Dean, can you come? We have a little girl that we did surgery on this morning, but she's not doing very well, and I need you to come. I said, sure, I'll be right up. So I got up there, and by this time, the mother and the grandmother were sitting by the bed of this little, beautiful little girl, Mercy. And I could tell she wasn't doing well, and Agneta was there, and the mom and the grandma were there, and we just started praying together. And it was pretty emotional to see this. And you know what I'm talking about, John and Bill. You guys have been in hospitals. You know what that's like. And not much you can do except just be there and be close to them and pray with them. And so we prayed together and they were crying and we were crying and Dr. Agneta was crying. And then after we did that, you know, the family members went outside to go call their family members to give them the news that little Mercy had passed away while we were praying, actually. And Agneta had other patients to see, and so she went, and here I was with little Mercy, and she was just all alone, and I felt the Lord saying to me, stay with Mercy. Now, we know her spirit had gone, but her body was still there. And so I brought up a chair, and I sat next to her, and I just was there, just presence of being there. And, excuse me. And you know how the Lord speaks to you in soft, beautiful ways? And I just heard the Lord say, hum. Just hum. Hum a song. And so right away, I started humming. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is singing. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible. Sometimes we save lives, but sometimes we usher them into the arms of Jesus.
Right.
And that's okay. The model of our hospital is real simple. We treat, Jesus heals.
Amen.
We do what we can do humanly, but God has to heal. And sometimes it's healing miraculously, and I've seen miracles every day. The one thing about working at Timic, it's fun. It's awesome. I see people's lives saved every day, but there are also times when they pass away. And we usher them into the arms of Jesus. So what do we do at Tenwick? We train up Kenyan, African, OBGYNs for the glory of God to save lives. Hallelujah. We train up chaplains to preach the good news in the gospel. And that's part of my job. And we thank the Lord for that. And then sometimes we just do what we have to do. No matter what. The call. My wife was working one day and she comes into the operating room and they're making a fuss about this patient. They're all excited about this patient. And my wife is like, what's going on? This patient, you know, needs a hysterectomy. And, it needs a C-section. And so my wife is ready to start the C-section. She goes, why are you all excited about this patient? And they all said, oh, she's an athlete. And my wife says, well, she looks pretty strong. What do you mean? Well, in Kenya, as you probably know, the only athletes are the runners, right? You've heard about the Kenyan runners, the marathon runners. They win all the awards and all the Olympics. And they said, this woman is a runner. She's a marathon runner. And I went, oh, great. It turns out this little girl, well, now lady, she won the Sydney 2002 Olympic gold medal marathon. And she's from our little village. And so my wife took care of the C-section. The baby was delivered. All that was good. And while they were doing everything, the woman said, excuse me, Dr. Coles, while you're there, can you do a tubal ligation too? She had seven children. So she said, I'm ready to stop. And my wife did that. Well, the next year, we were in Greece at a medical conference, and this medical conference was in the city of Marathon. Maybe you know about this town. It's where the marathon started. The Greeks, they had victory over the Persians, and this runner went from Marathon all the way to Athens, which is 26 miles, and he collapsed on the finish line there and said, the victory, we won. Well, that's the original start of the marathon. It's in this town called Marathon. So we went to the Marathon Museum, and they had the museum of all the Olympics. And so sure enough, we found the Sydney booth. You know, they have a little thing there for the Sydney Olympics. Yep, there she is, Faith Cheloget, one of our girls that my wife helped. She's right there in that thing. A few weeks after that, I was in the hospital looking around, and this very distinguished athlete, very strong guy. He was in a full outfit, a runner outfit, brand new Nike shoes, and I could tell he was a runner. And I said, oh, you're a runner. He goes, yeah. I go, what's your name? Weldon. Well, Weldon, where have you been lately? Where have you run lately? Oh, I just got back from the Los Angeles Marathon. Wow. Well, how did you do? I won, of course. For the second time in 3 years. Last year I came in second place and I had to go back and redeem myself. I said, well, Walden, where do you live? He goes, oh, I live across the river. We have a river right by our hospital. I said, well, tell me, how did you start running? He goes, well, my mom and dad couldn't pay school fees because you have to pay for school fees after second grade, elementary. So I just started running. And he became the best runner in our town and then the best runner in our county and then finally the best runner in Kenya. And now he's a marathon runner. Wow. Poor kid. That's all he, you know, can do is go run. Kind of like our inner city kids. They play basketball or football all day. Football, Micah. There you go. Got a scholarship. Play all day and you can go be a... And so that's how it is, right? And then another runner I met one time, I said, what inspired you to be a runner, a Kenyan runner, a marathon runner? And he just went like this. And because I'm thinking he's talking about God, right? That's not what he meant. He said, when I was a little kid, I saw an airplane flying across the sky. And I knew that the only way I would ever be able to ride in an airplane is if I worked hard and became a runner. So I could go to Europe. That was his motivation. That was his drive. So he became a marathon runner. When you're working with the poor, like you hear in America or whether it's in Africa, give people motivation. Give them a desire. But keep them safe and heal them. And that's what we're there to do. One night, my wife also was called into surgery. And again, it's an emergency, like there are tons of emergencies. And so she's in there, and the patient is ready, and she's there to do a hysterectomy because the lady lost a lot of blood. And she looks at the IV pole, and she says, where's the blood for this woman? We don't have blood banks in Kenya, by the way. And they said, sorry, Dr. Coles, there's no more blood in the hospital. And she goes, what's her blood type? And they said, O positive. My wife said, stay right here, don't move, I'll be right back. Guess who's O positive? My wife. The surgeon left the operating room to go to the lab, put the IV in her arm, get the blood, take the blood, warm blood, put it back on the pole, scrub back in, did the surgery, saved the lady's life. Hallelujah. Boy, wouldn't you like a surgeon like that? Well, we have a surgeon like that, don't we?
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Gave his blood.
Amen.
For each one of us. So why go back to Kenya? To save lives and to give blood. Now, as you saw the picture, I affectionately called my wife the most beautiful doctor in the hospital. Hey. Say, aw. There we go. You know, that's what we do as husbands, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, husbands, don't forget that. You have the most beautiful wife in your area of ministry, wherever you are. And so I say that all the time. Where's the most beautiful doctor in the hospital? And they know who I'm talking about, and we go find her. But she also has another name. I affectionately call her Dr. Dracula. You know why? Because every now and then she calls me up. I need your blood. Because this time her patient isn't O positive, her patient is B positive. And O positive can't save the B positive patient. Guess who's B positive? I need your blood. Does your wife call you up and ask you for your blood?
Sometimes.
She takes your blood. I know. Yeah. So I say, yes, ma'am, I'm coming right up. So it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm running up the hill. We're about 500 yards from the hospital. And I get up there, and she says, the nurse is already ready for you. So I go to the laboratory. It's kind of like a Frankenstein movie. I mean, it's a laboratory. That's where we draw blood. And the nurse, he's a male nurse, by the way, and he's there waiting for me because, you know, my wife said, meet my husband quickly. Get the blood out of I need it right away. So I go up there, and he goes, your wife told me you were coming. Lay down. Now, how many of you have given blood in America? Can I ask? Oh, lots of you. So you know what it's like in America. You go to the American Red Cross. They have a sofa, right? You sit on a nice recliner chair. Am I right? And they give you cookies and orange juice. Right? Yeah. And they make sure you're good. How are you doing, Mr. Coles? Oh, by the way, Mr. Coles, there's a TV. You can watch your favorite show. Oh, that's nice. And by the way, Mr. Coles, we have this little machine down here that does this. Any of you know what I mean? This little sucks the blood out. You don't have to even work at it. And by the way, Mr. Coles, I'm going to, you know, put some yellow stuff on your arm and make sure it's all clean. You know what I mean? They do that. Oh, by the way, Mr. Coles, I'm going to put a tourniquet on your, you know, right up here to help me find your vein. And oh, Mr. Coles, don't worry. This won't hurt. Just turn your head and a little, oh, that's so nice. And we're going to put a little band. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't hurt in America, does it? Not in Kenya. Are you kidding? We don't mess with that silly stuff. We don't have time for that silly stuff in Kenya. He told me, lay down on this steel gurney. There's no couch. There's no blood thing like this. They don't have all that. They don't have a tourniquet. He just does this. He takes this donated MASH unit. I think it came from the MASH war. Any veterans in the war, you know, from, you know what I mean? Any army guys? Okay. And boom, he sticks it in my arm. And by the way, I've given blood many times. Don Marie, you asked me how many, a gallon? Yeah, she knows. She follows me on Facebook. I give blood all the time. So this is, I don't know how many times. But every time it still hurts. It's still, and I know it's going to hurt. But I know I got to do it because my wife needs my blood to save this patient. So I'm there, you know, sweat is on my brow. And they put a stick in my hand, right, to pump the blood out. You know, not one of those things. So I'm there. So the nurse, finally, he sees that I'm doing okay. And he says, I'll be right back. So he goes back to help my wife. And I'm sitting there. Okay, I'm getting my blood. I got to push hard. I got to get it out there. My wife needs this blood right away. But as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, Friday night, somebody else got a call. Yeah, Dad, what you want? Hey, son, how you doing? Are you busy? No, Dad, what's up? Well, I need a favor. Oh, sure. What is it, Dad? I need some of your blood. Oh yeah, sure. No problem. How much? A pint? Two, maybe? Sorry, son, I need it all. But isn't that going to hurt? Yeah, I'm afraid it is going to hurt. But would you give it? Sure, Dad, whatever you say. You know, I was feeling this, right? You get it? Looks like I'm feeling it now. And that was a while ago. And I started crying when I was sitting on this table, thinking about Jesus sacrificing His blood for me and you and everyone on earth, including this patient that my wife is trying to save. That's right. And as I'm giving my blood, I'm thinking about that. I'm starting to cry. And guess who walks into the room? The nurse. The male nurse. He sees me crying and he doesn't say anything, but I know what he's thinking, John. You wimpy Americans. You can't even give blood without crying. But that's okay. I finished the bag. He rolled it up. He went into the operating room and I went home at midnight. So as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're right, Don Marie. Gallon, 2 gallons, well, I'll give whatever I can. You would do the same thing, wouldn't you? Do I have a hands? Would you have done that if your wife or your doctor calls you? You would do that. In fact, our visitors, when they come, that's the first thing we tell them. We don't have a blood bank. Please give your blood. It can save a life. And the good thing about you Americans, we usually don't have to test you because you're not HIV. But in Africa, 30% of our people are HIV. So everybody has to be tested. But for me, my wife didn't have to test my blood. She knew that I never done drugs and never had illicit sex. And my blood was clean. And so that was good. So as I go home, I'm thinking about all this. And I fall asleep. And about 2 in the morning, I hear my wife come in and wakes me up, and I say, "Honey, how did it go?" She goes, "Oh, Dean, thank you." Rose, that's the patient's name. She made it. Your blood did it. That was what I needed. I needed one more pint, and it saved her life. Oh, amen. Wow. How's the baby? Oh, the baby's fine. Baby boy. Great. Amen. Well, any chance I could go see Rose tomorrow? Oh, sure. She'll be fine tomorrow, so come on over. So in the morning, I went up and sat down, and Rose was there. She had a little baby boy, you know, cute, fully healthy little baby boy. And I'm looking at Rose, and I'm saying, Achamage, which is our greeting, and Iyamune, how are you doing? And then I said, Kigerene. What is his name? Kigerene. And without breaking, she immediately said, guess what? Dean. She named her little boy after me. Oh, that really touched me. But unfortunately, this poor little kid, all his life, now you have to understand, in Kenya, most boys are named Ezekiel, Elijah, you know, Zachariah. I mean, they have biblical names. But Dean? What kind of name is that? This poor kid, all his life, his age mates are going to go, what's your name? Dean. How do you spell that? D-E-A-N. I've never seen that name in the Bible. Well, it's not in the Bible. Well, then how did you get that name? Well, my mom tells me she was really sick. She was about to die, and this missionary white guy came, and he gave blood for my mom, for me, and that's why my name is Dean. Okay. Well, Lord, whatever the testimony is. You know, we just do what we got to do. Amen? And you, I'm no special. You would have done the same thing in that circumstance. But that's why we're there. My wife is in surgery, saving lives, working crazy, working hard. I'm there to preach. I'm there to counsel. I'm there to give blood. I'm there to help support my wife. And just so you know, everything you give today, when we're done, you can come and talk to me. And I think we have a jar or something up there you can give for a hospital bed so that women don't have to have two to a bed. That would be, some of you ladies know what I mean. You could sponsor a hospital bed. Or you can help one of our residents. I mean, there's just ways you can help. Anything you can do. And praying for us. And Bill and Jenny, you know what I mean. You were in Czechoslovakia and you had so many people praying for you guys while you're serving. But I just ask you, keep praying for us. And All Things Good Church, I love your name. I love it. All Things Good. For God, all things are good. In fact, in our church, just so you know, every morning we have a greeting from our pastor. God is good? All the time? Let's try it one more time. God is good?
All the time?
God is good. Would you stand with me? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.